Welcome to Faith FM Drive Time Big Q&A. It's the show where we respond to difficult questions concerning God, faith, contemporary religion, and the Bible. It's the show where we look at world religious trends in the light of Bible prophecy. Hey friends, it's Will Moala here. I'm the pastor of the Para Vista Seventh-day Adventist Church here in Northern Adelaide. So excited to be with you tonight. I have my lovely co-host in the studio with me, Pastor Brenton Wilkinson. For those who may not know Pastor Brenton, he serves as the pastor of the Riverland Seventh-day Adventist Church here in Barrie, South Australia. Pastor Brandon, good to have you.
Nice to be
good
on.
To be back. What have you been up to, mate? Back.
Well, I've been up a bush. The Riverland, for those who may not know, is in South Australia we would describe as the main towns of Wakery, Barmara, Barrie, Loxton and Renmark. So there's five towns, all reasonably substantial in size, and I'm the pastor of the area up there on a part-time basis.
Fantastic.
And I spent a significant amount of time last week visiting church members.
Wonderful.
And people who were not church members. And I enjoyed it immensely. A lot
That's
of
awesome.
Driving on gravel roads. I think by the time I got back, Will, I'd done 1,000 k's in 3 days of driving.
Wow.
So for those of our ministers or those who are workers around Australia who do a lot of travelling, I know what it feels
yeah.
like.
Wow. Well, hey, it's good to have you.
The car looks like it's done a Repco around Australia reliability trials. All good.
All good. Well, hey, great to be in the studio with you once again, Pastor Brenton. Hey, for you, our listeners out there, thank you for tuning in. Whether you're driving in the car or you're at home, wherever you find yourself tonight, thank you for choosing to spend the next hour or so with us. We have a lovely program for you. We're starting a brand new theme, as we always do each and every Monday evening. So tonight, our theme for this week, aren't all religions essentially the same?
Yeah, they'll be
unpacking. You know, this is a question that often comes up whenever you're talking about faith and religion. Hey, there's a common question. Aren't they all the same? And certainly I've had conversations with people when they've asked that question. Certainly you have as well, Pastor Brenton.
I have.
But that's the overall theme. But tonight, our question is a bit more specific. The question for tonight that Brenton and I will look at, does what I believe matter?
Mm.
Does what I believe
that's
matter?
That's topic.
You know, sometimes it's a very subjective thing. So what you believe, what I believe, you know, if it doesn't hurt anyone and if it's I'm not doing anything to you or vice versa.
It's called subjectivism.
Yeah. So that's a question we're going to be looking at.
Just briefly, but we're going to look, and I'll give a heads up to those who are listening. We're going to have a look at what the Bible has to say. I want to have a look at some examples in the Bible as to how the belief system of these people or groups affected final outcomes. Because really when you're dealing with this particular topic, does it matter what you believe? You could say, does it matter what you believe about sliced bread? Does it matter what you believe about sport? Does it matter what you believe about everything? But I think we have to have a narrower focus, Will, in our study tonight, from the point of view of, does it matter what you believe as far as your future is concerned?
Yeah.
That's the area I think we want to dwell on a little bit tonight.
Well, hey, looking forward to jumping into that a little later on, Pastor Brenton. So there you go. That's our theme. And we'd love for you, our listeners, to tune in and to, hey, we always want to encourage for you to engage with us. So, hey, if you've got the opportunity and you've got the time and, you know, you're at home, you might be doing the dishes or doing something around the house or you might be in the car. If you've got a question or a comment, hey, we would love for you to engage with us. Here is our number, 0488 80811. That's also the number for our book offer. But yeah, we'd love to hear from you. If you've got a question, you've got a comment, if you agree with what we're saying, you disagree, you've got a story that reminds you of, connected to what we're sharing, hey, we'd love to hear from you. So please, by all means, if you can have the opportunity in the next hour as you're with us, shoot us a text. Love to hear from you because we get listeners from all across the country.
We do.
And
indeed,
it's always great to hear the, I guess, the reach of Faith FM, which is so awesome. So 0488 80811. If you got a question or a comment or just a shout out, hey, we'd love to hear from you.
We would indeed. So if they agree with what we're saying, we'll refer the comments to me. If they disagree, you take them.
All right, let's do that. Okay. Hey, let's jump into our World Watch article. It's something a little bit closer, I guess, to home for us, Pastor Brandon.
Yeah.
For those, obviously, this is a Christian broadcast station.
It is.
But we are Seventh-day Adventist Christians, and something's kind of special that's happened within our faith group. And for the last week or so, over in the US, members from all across the globe have been meeting for we call the General Conversation. So, hey, Pastor Brent, I've got an article that kind of highlights a new leader. For our Seventh-day Adventist world leadership. And I thought it'd be good, even for yourself, Pastor Brennan, we could bounce ideas of this new leader, and the article's going to share some things that he's passionate about, his priorities, and also we could just kind of jump on things that he's saying, things that we see in the local church as well, and just our overall journey. So here's the article, everybody, and this is taken from the RNS, Religion News Service. So this is the article: newly elected Seventh-day Adventist church leader reflects on challenges in faith's healthy living. So the subheading here is Urton Kohler, I believe he's...
Yes, Kohler. K-O-H-L-E-R.
Yeah. So, Urton Kohler will serve as the spiritual and administrative leader for the global movement.
Yes.
Which claims 23 million members in more than 200 countries. Hey, you know what, Pastor Brendan? I'm not going to read it verbatim. I might just pick up a couple of things. So, basically, here it is. Here's this article. He's been thrust into, you know, leading the world, I guess, SDA or Seventh-day Adventist Church movement. There was a previous leader. His name was
Ted Wilson.
Serving.
Maybe we need to point out a difference. There's a difference because recently another church group elected a leader.
Oh, okay.
Hope.
Oh,
and I think perhaps we need to point out that there's a difference between the way we operate.
Okay.
In the sense that we operate very much through committees and through. Whilst Pastor Kohler might be representing the church as the General Conference President, he doesn't speak ex cathedra.
Yeah.
What he says is not the last word in things.
Yeah.
That's not in any way putting down Pope Leo the 14th. It's simply pointing out the differences between the two.
Sure.
I think that is important.
Yeah.
He speaks, and when he speaks, he would speak on behalf of others who have been talking to him.
Let me read a few paragraphs.
He's a very godly man from just listening to him talk.
I might just, maybe just for context, read a few paragraphs and bounce some ideas with you, Pastor. So he says here, Urton Kohler, a Brazilian-born pastor known for his innovative approach to evangelism, is the newly elected president of the Seventh-day Adventist Church General Conference and the first to hail from South America.
He is.
Kohler will serve as the spiritual and administrative leader for the global movement, which claims 23 million members in more than 200 countries. He was voted into the position during a recent gathering of the General Conference, the denomination's top governing body in St. Louis. The church's sprawling geographic reach poses just one of the hurdles ahead in his duties as president, especially with today's political polarization and national allegiances, Kohler said in an interview with the Associated Press. Now, let me just share a couple of quotes. He says here, if I can choose one word that represents the challenge of this moment, the word is unity, he said. It's not easy to keep that unity because our members, they're citizens. They're living in the local society. They're influenced by that. Then just a little bit more on the denomination as such. The Seventh-day Adventist Church is a Protestant denomination that views the Bible as the literal word of God and the primary authority for Adventists. They are known for their beliefs that Christ's second coming is near and that the Bible requires observing the Sabbath on Saturday, the seventh day of the week. So there's a bit more here. There's a subheading, his role as president, his priorities. Maybe let me share two or three of his priorities, then we'll kind of just elaborate a bit more. So he's been asked, what is his priorities as a new leader? So a couple of things here. He says, Kohler wants to, the article says, Kohler wants to see more young people involved in the church.
Agreed.
He says, more women involved in leadership and more investment in communication and technology to advance its mission.
Yes.
He also wants to focus on continuing to spread the reach of the church, which is especially growing in parts of Africa and Latin America. And then he says, he quote, and I'll end with this one, I'd like to see more young people involved in the church activities, sometimes in leadership, sometimes sharing their opinions, their ideas, sometimes in the local community. And then he goes on to say there, he also has an emphasis Well, let me read this last line. In addition to the church's emphasis on the Sabbath, Kohler thinks Adventists' long-standing focus on healthy living can appeal to younger generations. So,
I'd agree.
I'm just sharing this, Paz Brandon, because obviously we may have a few people who are listening tonight and who are regular supporters of Faith FM may not know about the Seventh-day Adventist church, and that's where you and me are part of.
Yeah.
And I thought it would be kind of two ways, kind of like, hey, there's something big that's happening within our faith group.
Yes.
And also just to sign and say, hey, we are part of the Seventh-day Adventist Christian Church.
We are.
And which talk about the Bible and stuff. So let me just backtrack maybe just a couple of minutes more on this segment here, Brenton. About a new leader, what do you think? You've been in the church for, can I ask you, how long have you been in the, I guess, in the Adventist church?
Well, I was born an Adventist.
So okay, so
unlike you,
so well, very, 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 very long
I've
time.
I've been in an Adventist all my life, a very long time. Yeah, I didn't come out of the ark with Noah, but I have been around for a while.
Yeah. So let me just kind of give you my two cents on it. Like, see, I joined the Seventh-day Adventist Church, in my 20s, and I still vividly remember the when I got welcomed to the church, all the elders were at the front. It was in Congregational Church in Sydney, and one of the elders, who's now, sleeping in Christ, he said to me, and I've never forgotten, Brent, he said, you're not just part of this little church, which Concord at the time was, there was probably, 20-odd members, a small church, but he said, you're part of the worldwide Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's something that's always stuck with me. Throughout my journeying as a church member, a follower of Jesus, just the average bloke going to church on the weekend, just kind of being part of the local body, and then a little later on feeling that call to ministry.
But
so I've always
You went to Papua New Guinea last year with a number of other
ministers. Yes, absolutely.
Did you feel part of the world?
Oh man,
church
can
there?
I tell you? It was amazing. So for those who may not realize what Pastor Brennan just said, a few of us, well, not just a few, well, a few from Adelaide.
Yeah,
but
a few from
in
Adelaide.
Papua New Guinea last year, our church ran this massive evangelistic event called PNG for Christ.
Yeah.
And I think, Pastor Brennan, there was, I think, upwards about 2,000 local sites in various villages across. It was amazing. There was a team of us that went here from South Australia and folks from all across Australia. I was at a site where there were thousands of people coming in night after night. And that's exactly what you said, Brenton. Even though I'd never met our fellow PNG brothers and sisters.
You got a common bond.
There was unity. The president is talking about unity, man.
Yeah.
We saw unity there.
Saw
and what unified us, Brenton, was our message.
Yes.
And that is something, man, we need to recapture more of that here in Australia. I mean, myself. I mean, they loved the Bible.
Yes.
I mean, I had two gentlemen who were basically living in my headquarters with me. And so they were like my chaperones every night. They drive me to the site, drive back. We have tea and man, lovely men of God. And one thing that they loved was the message.
Yes.
And they could sit on in the oval for hours and listen to the preacher.
Yeah.
Definitely. It was the unity of the message.
That's the thing. You can go anywhere in the worldwide church and you feel at home.
Yeah.
You can walk into a church, even if you don't speak their language. We went to Mauritius and generally they speak French. Now, it was interesting. We came into church and sat down and this woman up the front saw us and she came along and she said, I'm Lucy. I teach Bible at the Adventist College in Mauritius. I will be your translator. So even though everything was in French, she was translating into English for us.
That's awesome.
But what I felt was a common bond. The following week, I preached in that church.
Yeah.
And she was my translator.
Man.
So, what I'm saying is it's the message that is the similar thing. And we need to get back to the simplicity of the message.
Yeah.
What will Pastor Kohler do? I imagine his focus will be not only in the areas you've described, but I would imagine that he'll have a very strong focus on getting back to the basics of the Bible, that the Bible is sola scriptura. We believe it's all inspired, not a bit here and a bit here and a bit there, that it's all inspired. And I think when you go away from that with higher criticism and with other modern developments, you run the risk of, if you don't believe the Bible is God's inspired word of God, that unity is fractured.
Yeah.
You've got groups going everywhere. He thinks this, they think this, she thinks that, this group thinks this, whatever. Have we got those in the church? Yes, there is an undercurrent in the church of this type of thing. But I'd totally support him in his focus on unity.
Yeah.
We need to be unified.
Yeah. Amen. Hey, obviously there's more we can share there, but I was just so excited because I was obviously there were delegates that came from our part of the world, Australia, and went there.
In fact, even South Australia.
Yeah. Yeah, we had two ladies from South Australia. And I've always said, man, I'd love to go to a GC session one day, whether I went as a delegate or just someone, just a fly on the wall, so to speak, because I think there's something special about believers coming from across the world, and it's in our faith group, but I'm sure other Christian faith groups, they all do it, you know.
Oh,
the
I'm
big,
sure they
big
do.
Conventions to remind us of who we are as a people and our message and the need to focus on what matters. And yes, I guess what it resonates with me is what I'm hearing the our new church president talk about mission and unity, and that needs to trickle down to our local churches as well. So I was inspired to share that.
I do believe that because you go to these big conventions like yourself. I've not ever been a delegate to one of these sessions.
Yeah.
Probably never will be. But you come away from them and you're inspired.
Yeah.
But then you come home to your home church or your home area.
Like the mountain. Yeah.
It's from the mountaintop to the valley a bit. And you say, how am I going to maintain that enthusiasm, that inspiration that I had when I was there?
Yeah.
In order that I can pass it on to my church family.
Yeah.
They're the things that are important. And I believe you do that by, it can have the effect of strengthening your relationship with the Lord because you realize you probably have met people at these sessions.
Yeah.
Who say, brother. And for those who may be unfamiliar with Adventists, if you hear the term brother or sister in the church, don't get upset.
Yeah.
No, we're not all inbred. It simply means that the Bible talks about, Paul called his church family, brothers and sisters. And we do the same thing. But it's encouraging if I was to go over there and meet someone from Pakistan or somewhere like that, and they said, I just want you to know I'll be praying for you.
Yeah.
You've got this worldwide web of prayer supporting you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So when you come back and the mundane becomes the mundane again or seems to be mundane, just remember there are other people praying for you and lifting you up in prayer.
Praise God.
Just like you're lifting them up.
Amen. Well, hey, we're going to switch gears to our book offer. Look, I'm...
Yeah, we've got someone already.
Yeah. Hey, to... Whoever, a person has just texted through asking about the book offer. You're writing in regards to the religious book offer that was mentioned in our program. Can we please guide you through the process? Well,
yes.
We're going to do that right now, my friend. So our book tonight is God's Truth. God's Truth can change your life. That's the title of our free book offer for tonight, and that's by author George R. Knight. So searching for life's meaning is universal. Every culture in every era has searched for truth. Truth that answers life's big questions. And in this book, God's Truth, best-selling author George Knight explains the Bible's major themes in a manner that is both clear and brief. If you would like a free copy of the book, God's Truth, Can Change Your Life by George Knight, all you need to do is pick up your phone and text the code. So here's the code, everybody, SA329. So if you got your phone, grab your phone, text the SA329 to the number 0488 80811, and just text that code. That's all you need to do. Just text the code SA329 and send that through, and our friendly bot will get in touch with you, get your details, and then we'll get that book out to you as soon as we can. So once again, God's Truth Can Change Your Life by George R. Knight. Wonderful resource for you, absolutely free. All you need to do is text the code SA329 to the number 0488 80811. We'll promote the book offer one more time a little later in the show, but for now we need to go to a song for a break, and then when we come back we'll listen to Pastor Brenton unpack the question, does what we believe matter? We'll see you in a few moments.
They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives, because He lives. I can face tomorrow, because He lives. All fear is gone, because I know, yes I know, He owns the future. And life is worth the living, just because He lives. How sweet to hold newborn baby and feel the pride and joy He gives. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days, because He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow, because He lives. All fear is gone, because I know. Across the river, I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, because He lives, I can face tomorrow, because He lives. All fear is gone, because I know He holds the future.
Because He Lives by Anna Witherup. We hope you enjoyed that musical song there. So if you just join us, thank you for tuning in. It's Will and Brenton here in the Faith FM studio here, coming to you live from South Australia. We're starting a new theme for this week. Aren't all religions essentially the same? That's our theme for this week. But tonight, our more specific question that we'll be looking at, does what I believe matter? Pastor Brenton, walk us through, does what we believe matter?
Well, let's start at the beginning.
In the beginning.
In the beginning, yes, Genesis 1:1. What I want to say is this, as we sort of kick this program off for tonight, there is something in society that we touched on before, Will, called subjectivism.
Subjectivism.
Yeah. I'll get it right. Basically, what it means is that for everyone on this planet, each person determines truth for themselves. Now, one thing you will find whether it's on social media, whether it's in the printed page, whether it's on YouTube or whatever, you'll often hear an individual that doesn't have to be a sports star or someone from Hollywood or an influencer or anything like that. You'll often hear people say, I have to be true to myself. Now, what are they talking about? Really, in essence, they're talking about their belief system, whatever that happens to be. Now, I find this interesting because immediately for me, and I don't know about you, so I'm interested in your feedback on this.
Yeah.
For me, if someone said to me, Brenton, you have to be true to yourself, what does that mean? That means my core values in life, my moral, spiritual, ethical standards are things that I have to be true to.
Yeah.
But here's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to look at it. Remember what we said earlier on.
Yeah.
As a religious radio station, we have a responsibility, I believe, to share what God's word has to say. But I want to start with a couple of comments. The National Church Life Survey in May 2024 determined this, that 26% of those that they checked with, they said this. They believed that Jesus Christ was a person and that he lived among human beings in the first century AD.
Yeah.
Okay. Now you would say, okay, that's good. Just over one quarter of all of these people believed that Jesus was a literal person. Well, you know what? There's enough evidence to prove that he was and that he lived among human beings at that particular point in time.
Right.
But does that statement make any difference to your belief system? Because it seems to me that you can believe this, but it doesn't necessarily translate into action. Billy Graham put it this way. He said, what we believe will influence how we live. So your belief system, I believe, is important. Does it matter what you believe? I will say right at the start, yes, it does. What I have a problem with relativism is another way of subjectivism. Relativism says this, that basically truth, right and wrong are okay, but you have to compare them with something. So nothing can be true or right in all situations. This is where I have a problem. I don't know whether you have a problem. What we suffer from in our world today, and I'm not preaching or moralizing, I'm just putting it out there for people to think about it. We do not have too many absolutes in society anymore, particularly in regard to ethics, morals, and that sort of thing. Do you realise that a lot of young people, where do they get their moral standards from?
A lot of times.
They get them from social media.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't get them from their parents. They don't get them from the minister or the church that they attend, assuming that they go to church. They get them from wherever they can get them from. The other problem I've got is that 38% of people who were surveyed in this survey said that Jesus existed, but he wasn't God. So, therefore, what I'm saying to you is what you believe, does it matter? It matters an awful lot because it affects your present life, but it also affects your eternal destiny. So, we've been through this on the air some time ago where I went through the statistics from America and they were alarming. Are they any different here? I don't know. Basically what a lot of Americans have today is they have a biblical worldview, but it's what's called a syncretistic worldview. It amalgamates various belief systems and various cultures and various isms all into one potpourri, and that then becomes their belief system.
Right.
So what are we looking at here tonight? We're looking at, is there such a thing as absolute truth? And that's where we need to work from. So, as you know, John 14:6 tells us this.
Mm.
I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Yeah.
Not a truth, the truth. So Jesus said to his disciples when they were asking him, where are you going? We don't know where you're going. We don't know what you're doing, Lord. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We have to look, I believe, at this subject of, does it matter what you believe, through the prism of yes, because it affects your eternal destiny.
Okay.
So really what I'm going to do here, I guess, is bring some examples out, but I also want to point out a text that comes from 2 Peter. You know the text as well as I do. It's in 2 Peter 3, verses 10 and 11, and it basically says something along these lines. It says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conduct and godliness? So really what I've done is gone from the question, doesn't matter what you believe, to yes, it does, because according to Peter, at the end, this world as we know it is going to be destroyed. So whatever your belief system is, anybody listening to Faith FM tonight on Drive Time, it makes an awful amount of difference, because whatever you believe currently, whatever is most important to you currently, is going to be done away with.
Yeah.
There's going to come a point in time, whether it's your house, your car, your education, your travel, sport, whatever it happens to be, all of those things are going to be dissolved, according to Peter.
Yeah.
And then he asks the question, in light of the fact that this is going to happen, and he's not suggesting that it might happen or, you know, there's a possibility that it will happen. Mm. He's saying it will happen. So in light of that, what sort of life should you be living, ethically, morally, and in all other ways?
Yeah.
So in order to have a look at this, notice what Paul said in Ephesians 2:12. And I've been to the old town of Ephesus, what's left of it, I should say. He said this to them. He referred to their former way of life and belief system. He said, therefore, remember that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now, you and I as ministers have performed funeral services. And I guess I've had the privilege of conducting funeral services for suicides, for people who are not believers, don't believe in God or believe in anything.
Yep.
I can remember one that I did earlier this year who didn't believe in anything. What your belief system does, it supports you through those times. For those who don't have that belief system, it's like they've lost a loved one, they've lost a friend, they've lost a compatriot, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
It's like they've come up against a black wall and there's nothing beyond. The loved one is gone, the friend is gone, and where to from here?
Yeah.
But if your belief system incorporates the hope of the resurrection, then you've got something to look forward to, haven't you?
Yeah.
I conducted a funeral service only a few weeks ago up in the Riverland, the church that I'm now pastoring. Church was full. Many people there that hadn't been to church for a long time, other people from around the community, friends and that sort of thing, we were able to offer them the hope of the resurrection. And Paul is pretty hot on that in 1 Corinthians 15, isn't he? He says that if Christ hasn't risen from the dead, you are still in your sins, and you are of all people most miserable. We may as well be like the average person, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die.
Yeah.
And there's nothing beyond.
Yep.
Have you got any thoughts on this? Because we'll jump to a couple of examples in the Bible in our discussion today just to show what it does mean to have a belief system that accords with this, with the simple focus that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life.
Yeah.
He's not one alternative amongst many. He is the way, the truth, and the life. If you trust in him, it focuses all your energies and all your belief system on a person who has promised that I'm coming again to take you to be with me. You got any thoughts on this?
And by the way, I love your comments there, Brenton. The only thing I wanted to maybe add was I was kind of thinking the question along the lines of like the everyday Aussie that's out there, and I'm kind of like thinking maybe someone that's skewed towards don't really have a whole lot to do with religion or church.
Not into it.
And I guess my general statement at this part of the question is, it does matter what you believe, whatever that is, because at the end of the day, your beliefs, whether subconsciously or consciously, it it determines how you live.
Yes.
And can I just use a quick example? I heard another preacher, and I've basically used it forever, ever since. He was talking about the book of Acts,
yes.
which is the, you know, what is it? Matthew, Mark, the fourth, yeah. you can call it the fifth gospel, so to speak, but basically, it's in the New Testament. So, yep, you know, yep. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, then there's the book of Acts. And this preacher said, and I've always never forgotten it, he says, it's often quoted, the title of the book is The Acts of the Apostles. And he basically made this, he argued the point that an act is an action and you only act on what you believe. So he said you could almost call it the beliefs of the apostles.
Yes, you could.
Then you could take it a step further when you realize the book of Acts is really about the work of the Spirit. You could call it the Acts of the Spirit. So I've always seen there's a connection between your belief and your actions. So in a very generalized statement.
That's what Billy Graham was saying.
Yeah.
What I said earlier on, what you believe affects how you live.
So,
yep.
So I think that's a good starting point when you're talking to the everyday, you know, with the everyday person on the street. That beliefs are important because our beliefs, our values, how we see the world, how we see ourselves, mm-hmm. and this is kind of tying into the whole existential questions of why are we here, where do we come from? But yeah, beliefs definitely drives our thinking and how we act.
It drives your motivation.
Yeah.
It drives your actions.
Yep.
So regardless of whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian, you don't believe in a deity at all. And 60% of Australians claim to believe in a deity of some type.
Yeah.
But how much does that belief affect your actions?
Yeah.
That's the question that only people could answer for themselves.
Mm.
I can't answer it for them. What I can answer is what does God's word tell me and what can it offer them?
Yeah.
that's the important issue, I think.
Yeah. Mm. Awesome. So, keep walking us through there.
Well, there was an example way back in the beginning of Scripture in Genesis chapter 4. The first two boys ever born to the human race, Cain and Abel.
Oh, yes. Yep.
Where God asked them to bring an offering. Cain brought an offering of fruit from his garden, which wasn't in accordance with what God asked him to do.
Yeah.
Abel brought a lamb, which was in accordance with what God had asked him to do. Cain got angry about this. God tried to remonstrate with Cain and said, if you do the right thing, won't your offering also be accepted, just as your brother's was? But let's put it this way. You've chosen, that's your belief system cutting in, you've chosen to say, what I've produced is sufficient.
Mm.
God can be satisfied with that. And, of course, we know that led to the world's first murder. And, unfortunately, Cain doesn't mention, isn't it interesting? You don't find anything more said about Cain after Genesis chapter 4.
Mm.
That's it.
Yeah.
It's almost as though he exits stage left.
Yeah.
He's gone. Anyway, moving on, we have the Israelites. When they left Egypt after the wilderness wanderings, they were admonished on the borders of Canaan. In Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 and 2, it says, now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commands, that I command you today that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. Well, we know that Israel was not faithful. You only have to study the Old Testament. You can study the book of Joshua, Judges. Then you get into 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. All of these stories, why are they put there? Even for the average Joe Blow out there in the street who's not religious at all, they're put there for examples. They're, you could put it this way, they are examples to us today that help us to understand where they went wrong, so that we don't do the same thing ourselves.
Yeah.
You could call them precedents. Precedents of worship, precedents of God said, if you want to follow me and you're faithful to me, does that affect your thinking patterns and your belief system? Absolutely. This is what he's telling them. And they weren't faithful. And, of course, eventually there's a number of books in the Old Testament that talk about how they were taken into captivity, whether it was Assyria or whether it was Babylonia, they were taken into captivity. Today, our belief system I believe, has so many different things. The aspects that I believe will, and here's something to think about, I doubt that anyone else this week's going to touch on this aspect, but I don't know about you, but when I type my notes up on my computer and that sort of thing, we have something on the computer these days called artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
It can be both beneficial. It can also be infuriatingly exasperating.
Yeah.
Because it tells you to do something or it suggests something and you say to yourself, that's not what I want.
Yeah.
I wonder what effect AI is going to have in the future on people's thinking.
Yeah.
We touched on this one night, remember, in a program where we talked about how one of the founders of AI has said that in the future we'll be able to contact our dead relatives through AI.
Yeah.
Through the way it's set up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So does that affect your belief system? Absolutely.
Yeah.
If you already believe in life after death and that comes to pass, that's only going to strengthen that belief because that is then set against what the Bible says.
Yeah.
That the dead know nothing.
Yeah.
So
hey, Brendan,
you've got all of these things. What I'm saying is all of these things, you could take a whole program on this stuff. All of these things are playing into a person's belief system. How does he or she sort it out? Well, you have to go back to John 14, verse 6 and 7.
Yep.
I am the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus said, if you want to know that, if you know the truth will set you free.
Yeah.
If he's the way, the truth, and the life, the simple answer is you need to know Jesus because he is able to give you that insight, that spiritual insight, that insight into what is right and what is wrong.
Yeah.
Because of moral relativism that we've got in our society today. Have you got any thoughts on that?
I'm just looking at the time. We need to jump to break. But I want you to hold
Time's running out.
I want you to hold on to that thought, Pastor Brenton, about the concept of truth, because I think that plays into this discussion. And I loved how you introduced Jesus and he's making a truth claim. He's the way, the truth, and life. Hold that thought, Brenton, because when we come back from the break, I want to just explore that in the time that
sure,
we have.
Sure.
But before we jump to the break, we're going to offer the book one more time.
Please.
So if you missed it the first time around, here it is the second time. The book is God's Truth. Can Change Your Life by author George R. Knight. Hey, if you're looking for meaning, the Bible claims to be the source of truth. So in this book, George Knight explains the Bible's major themes in a manner that's both clear and brief. Hey, if you're kind of new to the Bible or new, just you're still on
George
a journey.
George Knight's very good.
You've got to grab a copy of this book. All you need to do to claim your free copy is text the code SA329. And once again, the code is SA, capital S, capital A for South Australia, SA329. You need to text that code to the number 0488880811. So once again, God's Truth Can Change Your Life by author George R. Knight. God's Truth, if you want a free copy, just text us the code SA329 to the number 0488880811. Please don't go away. We've got a few minutes to go. We'll be back in just a few moments.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior. Of a rapture now burst at my side. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Angels descending, bring from above. Echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song.
Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior.
Blessed Assurance, Anna Weatherup. I love her singing. Beautiful talent. Hey, if you just tuned us, we have a few minutes to go here. We're coming to you live from our studio here in Faith FM in Adelaide. We're looking at the question about religions. Aren't all religions the same? That's the overall theme. But tonight, Brenton's been doing a wonderful job and unpacking the question. Does it matter what I believe? And just in the break, Shane from New South Wales, we want to shout you out, mate.
Hi, Shane.
We've seen your text come through on the screen here. Thank you for supporting Faith FM, mate, and we'll get that book out to you as soon as we can.
And
so
Nelson,
thank you. And we got another gentleman, Nelson. Nelson, if you're still listening, you need to re-text us that code so it can trigger the book offer.
The
so we had Nelson earlier today as well. So God bless you, Nelson, and to you as well, Shane. So, Pastor Brandon, we got a few minutes to go. We're talking about truth just before the break. Okay. So break that down for us.
You were giving us a... an idea. Well, let me explore that one a little bit with our audience. When you're doing Bible studies with people, you don't just pray before you begin the Bible study because it's the right thing to do and they're expecting you to do it. You pray before a Bible study so that the Holy Spirit will open both your mind and the minds of those that you are studying with.
Yep.
And often you sense when you're studying with people that know they're not taking it in. You can tell by body language, you can tell by eye contact, you can tell by questions, you can tell by silence, you can tell by many different ways that people are under conviction in various ways. But if you've prayed and you've asked the Holy Spirit to guide you, the Holy Spirit can change their thinking processes and change their belief systems. But have you got any thoughts on that?
We were just chatting over in the break. Yeah, because the question we're trying to attempt is, does it matter what I believe? And I was just saying to Pastor Brennan during the interim there, sometimes you meet people and sometimes there are people that just have no, they don't really care about religion or church. Really care what happens in the afterlife. You know, all this stuff about, you know, knowing truth.
They say they don't.
Yeah.
If you get to know them a little bit better, even though they may claim on the surface they don't believe
that's
this
right.
stuff. If you get to know them a little bit better, sometimes you find out that actually deep down they do care.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah. And I was just making the point that isn't that the part of why we open the Bible with people?
Yes,
because it's in the opening of the scriptures and reading God's word to people that's where the Holy Spirit can work. And that's His role, is to guide people into all truth. So as I've heard the topic tonight, does it matter what I believe? Yeah, there might be people who don't really care a whole lot. And that's fine because that's where they're at. But part of the scriptures, why it's called the living word, is that it introduces us to who God is.
Mm.
And so our privilege as pastors, as ministers, and as followers of Jesus, we get to unpack the Bible with people.
We do.
And hopefully in that time that the unseen work of the Holy Spirit is speaking truth to their heart, convicting them, saying, hey, this is the way, walk in it. Hey, and that's certainly been my experience and millions of Christians, is that something happens when the Bible is open.
Yes. Yep. That's where the power is.
Yeah.
The power is in the Bible. It's not in what you and I say.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's interesting, though, you've got some sad examples in Hosea. It talked about my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
Yep.
Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priests for me.
Yep.
Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. Moving on quickly, I think it is important to make an appeal, I guess, on air for us tonight, that those who don't know God, please, folk, pray. Maybe you've never prayed in your life before.
Yeah.
You don't have to make some sort of fancy prayer. Just say, Lord, I don't know you. I don't have a relationship with you. I believe you are concerned about me. Please reveal yourself to me. Now, that can happen through a Bible study. It can happen through an answer to prayer. It can happen through a number of different things.
Yeah.
But that will change your thinking. I was reminded of this, and this is where I believe, Will, it's so important. 2 Thessalonians 2, you know the chapter as well as I do, but this is where it becomes very interesting. It talks about last day events. It says, talks about people, the coming of the lawless one. It talks about with all unrighteousness, deception among those who will perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved.
Yeah.
And the reason God, and for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. Now, the bottom line in summarizing what we've been discussing tonight, it does it matter what you believe? Yes. As I've reiterated already and said earlier in the program, it does matter because it affects your eternal destiny.
Yep.
What's happening here in 2 Thessalonians 2, it's talking about a time is coming when there's going to be a false second coming and a real one.
Yep.
And you won't be able to tell the difference between the two. It doesn't matter whether you're religious. You know what? If you're listening tonight from around Australia and you don't believe in God and you don't believe any of this stuff, what are you going to do when you start seeing miracles, when you maybe see fire coming down from heaven?
Yeah, yeah.
Who are you going to attribute it to?
That's right.
David Copperfield at his best or something more than that. So all of us, inadvertently, whether we wish to or not, all of us are going to be brought into this vortex, so to speak, of truth and error. And the New Testament, despite the thousand mentions of the second coming of Jesus in the Bible, it's amazing that the New Testament primarily uses the word deception. Matthew 24, verse 5.
Yep.
Take heed that no one deceives you. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. Same thing applies here. What it means, folk, is this, and this is the challenge I would like to give tonight on air. Get a Bible and start reading it.
Yep.
Start reading in the book of Mark about Jesus and coming to know who Jesus is, because our only protection against deception is truth.
Yeah.
And who is the truth? Jesus Christ is the way,
absolutely,
the truth, and the life. I think that what Christ said in John 8, where he said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free, is true. What he was really saying is, if you know me, you will be free. You'll be free. It will unshackle your thinking. It will enable your mind to be expanded in ways that you never believed were possible.
Yeah.
That's what I believe that it's talking about. Will that change your belief system? Absolutely. Will it matter what you believe? Because when you come into a relationship with Jesus, you begin to realize that what you believe is vitally important. Instead of just struggling along through life as best you can, and I think that probably some of our listeners are in that spot right now, can I say to you as kindly as possible, pray to Jesus, ask him to reveal himself to you. And remember what Paul said, I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Why should we know Jesus Christ and him crucified? Because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Yeah.
If you don't know him, please make an effort to get a Bible, talk to somebody, maybe someone at work or sport or somewhere in your social interaction, social media, whatever. Try and find someone who's a balanced Christian, who loves God, who knows the Word of God, that can help you on this journey so that your belief system aligns with what God would have you to do.
Amen.
That's sort of where I'd like to wrap it up for today.
Thank you, Pastor. We could go on forever. Yeah, absolutely.
I think providing we've got those key points, does it matter? Yes, it does.
Yep.
Why does it matter? Because it affects your eternal destiny. How do you find out about this? Who can help you? Jesus.
Yeah, amen to that. Hey, Pastor Brandon, unfortunately, our time is up for tonight.
Time is up.
So we've got just a couple of minutes before
they
we say...
They should give us an hour and a half.
They should. We should talk to the higher-ups.
We will.
Well, to you, our lovely listeners, thank you for tuning in right to the end. We hope that you've enjoyed your time with us. Just a quick preview for tomorrow's program. We've got Pastor Gary and Pastor Marty. They'll be in the studio tomorrow night, 5 p.m. live Adelaide time. And the question they'll be looking at is our overall theme. Are all world religions essentially the same?
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
So, yeah, look forward to having Pastor Marty, Pastor Gary in the studio as they tackle that question. So, hey, thank you for joining us. We hope you've enjoyed our program thus far. Please tune in again tomorrow night, 5 p.m. Adelaide time, as Gary and Marty take the show.
Well, maybe we should have a prayer before
you. Yeah, sure.
Can you pray for us?
Let's do that. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for tonight's program. We want to thank you for all those who've tuned in tonight.
Yes.
And we just ask that your blessing will continue to be with each of our listeners. Lord, be with us here at Faith FM's studios. Be with our presenters for the rest of the week. And Lord, help us to uplift your truth for this hour as it is contained in the Bible. So please bless us to this end. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, hey, our time's up for tonight. May God bless you, and we'll hope to see you next time. God bless.